Would you all please join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, guide our thoughts and words today. You are the potter, we are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as you might have guessed from the children's message today, I grew up building things. I think the first thing I built with were those, you know, those alphabet blocks. How many of you have alphabet blocks? Or had them? And I think those have been around a long time. I think there have been generations of us that have grown up building with alphabet blocks. And then I got a little older, and my mom liked those Duplos, you know, those big big Legos for preschoolers. And then I graduated up to Lincoln Logs and Tinker Toys, and my mom got me this box of these huge wooden blocks. And then eventually I met my true addiction, Legos. Oh, so many Legos. I loved building with Legos. Heck, I still love building with Legos. You give me a bunch of Legos and I'm a happy camper. Feel free to make fun of your pastor. Now, the thing, though, with all of these is no matter what you build with, you've got to have a good foundation. When I was, say, 4 years old, I'd try to put everything end to end and see how tall a tower I could build, and they'd usually fall over pretty fast, right? Then as I got older, I learned you had to have interlocking bricks and you had to have a wider base. And the key thing was build on a flat surface. So almost all of my Lego building, if my mom was going to be mad at me, it was on the hearth in front of the fireplace we never used. And if she wasn't going to be mad at me, it was up in my room on the tiled floor where I was actually supposed to keep my Legos. But it was hot up there in the summer and I didn't want to be up there. All things need a good foundation, and that's why we have this image behind us, and I'll get to it in a minute. But you need a good foundation to do anything. If you want to succeed in this world, you got to learn what are the three R's they used to talk about, reading, writing, and arithmetic. You need to know the basics of education so you can succeed in any career. If you want to be a great musician, you got to start with the scales, or you got to start with the basic chords. You can't go immediately from zero to, I don't know, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. It's probably not going to work out so well. You can't cook a beef Wellington until you know how to boil an egg. See, I slipped in another food reference because I'm still sort of on a diet. In all these things, no matter your age, no matter when you're learning something, you need to get the basics to have as your foundation so that you can then build on that foundation. For Christians, and specifically for Christians in the Methodist tradition, our foundational understanding of God comes from four sources. And that's why this picture is behind me. Reason, tradition, experience, and scripture. But the important thing to note is that this is a trapezoid, it's not a rectangle. How many of you remember trapezoids from geometry class? You know, it's a rectangle with a couple of triangles on the side. And the important thing to notice is Scripture is primary. Scripture isn't solo. It's not the only way we know about God's love, but it's the primary way we know about God's love. And though we need tradition, reason, and experience to understand Scripture, we start with Scripture. And that's vital, because if we don't know the Scriptures, if we don't spend time with the Scriptures, we're not going to have the foundation that we need. Now, we've been in the midst of a sermon series called Faithful Resolutions, you know, ways and things that people often do at the beginning of a year to try and help their faith grow. And over my 10-plus years of being in pastoral ministry, I have frequently heard people say something along this line: Pastor, I'm going to read the Bible every day this year. Well, good. You should read the Bible every day. So we need to think to ourselves, what does that really mean? What does that look like? And with all things as a Christian, we then turn to the example of Jesus Christ, which we see in our scripture for today. Now, this passage that we read for today is early in Jesus' ministry. According to the Gospel of Luke, this is before some of his disciples are called. Maybe it's before he called any of his disciples. Jesus sets us an example on how to have a deeper relationship with God. Now, the first thing we see is that Jesus went to church. Well, sort of. He went to public worship at the synagogue on the Sabbath. And we'll talk more about worshiping weekly. That's your preview of coming attractions for the sermon next week. But secondly, and our main point for today, is that we see Jesus reading the Scriptures. Now, of course, in Jesus' case, he is reading the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew Scriptures. course, the New Testament did not exist then. It was being lived. And it would not be committed to paper or, well, paper hadn't been invented yet. It would not be committed to parchment or whatever else they were writing on for another 60, 70, maybe 80 years after the events that we read about today. But we need to stop right here and note something. It's kind of amazing that Jesus was able to read the scriptures. Most people in Jesus' time could not read. Very few people knew how to read. And I don't assume that everyone here today is able to read. And if anyone here does have some problems with reading, we don't want to judge you. We want to help you. And we want to help you find a way that you can experience scripture whether you're able to read or not, whether it's because you simply don't know how or because the eyes that allowed you to read maybe don't work the way they once did. But Jesus read scripture, and the fact that he does is kind of amazing, and it shows us simply that we are to do likewise. And we are blessed to live in a time when literacy is so widespread and more people can read scripture. Throughout the vast history of the Christian church, of the Christian movement, most people haven't been able to read in many eras. Now, the first half of this passage, Jesus sets two examples for us. First, he models that he knows the scriptures and knows that you don't just read one thing, but that scripture fits together. This passage he reads from the book of Isaiah, it's not one verse. It's a couple of different sections, and they're not right next to each other. And frankly, it's kind of amazing of how well you had to know the scriptures to be able to find things in those days, considering there were no chapters, there were no verses, and there were no spaces between the words. I'm really glad that we've invented all of those things. I think it makes communication a whole lot easier. But so well did Jesus know the book of Isaiah that he was able to find two passages that were connected to each other that he wanted to read and then to speak on at the synagogue. We need to know how it fits together. We don't just read each individual verse of the Bible in isolation. We look and compare and contrast and try to understand them and see how they fit together. Secondly, Jesus reads a passage and he reminds his hearers that Scripture is timeless. The passage that Jesus was reading had probably been written down 500 years or more before the time that Jesus was preaching that day. And yet, it was in that moment being fulfilled. Scripture is constantly new. God is alive, and through the Holy Spirit, God uses the words of Scripture to speak to us every day. It's not just, I'm going to read what happened long ago and memorize it. It's God's love and power will speak to us through these words each time we go into them. And one of the most amazing things is that you read a passage once and you haven't read it forever. When you come back to a passage, as you come to a different stage in your life, so often the Holy Spirit speaks something new to us as the passage touches on where we are in a new way. But this passage is not just about how to read Scripture. It's also a warning on how not to read Scripture. It's kind of like in the middle of this passage, there's a complete 180. You know, it starts off and people are listening to Jesus, and then it's like they all suddenly turn around and turn their backs on Jesus. Did you notice that as Jamie was reading the story? I'm not entirely sure how things turn so fast. Maybe they didn't turn quite on a dime like that. Maybe there's some parts of the story that Luke didn't write down that would fill in. But the point of it is that the people of Nazareth did not like what Jesus was saying. Now, there's a couple of reasons for this. First off, Jesus was Joseph's son, and Joseph was a carpenter. And it's entirely possible that the folks of Nazareth didn't trust that some kid who grew up in a working-class household could be the prophet that God has chosen. It might have been that they expected somebody different to be a prophet. And so they didn't trust that Jesus was really sent from God. But I think another part of it is Jesus was reminding them that the words of scriptures were not just for them. It's easy to read the Bible and say, look at all the love that God is showing me in the Bible. But we have to remember the Bible does not just teach us to love ourselves. That God loves us, I should say. It should never teach us that we're just supposed to love ourselves. But the Bible reminds us we are to love all people and that God loves all people. And Jesus was reminding the people of Nazareth, you know what? Even those folks who have been our traditional enemies, even those folks who live in a different area, even those folks who fought wars with the history of our people, those are people that God loves as well. And in fact, God loves them just as much as God loves us. And frankly, some of the folks in Nazareth didn't want to hear that day. They wanted to hear that the Scriptures were just for them. They wanted to hear that the Scriptures were the way that they'd always heard them read before. They didn't want to be open to the fact that God's Holy Spirit was through Jesus Christ saying something new to them that day. The reality is the Bible is long and complex. There's a lot of voices. I don't know how many people helped write the Bible, and I don't know how many more people then helped make the copies and the translations that bring the Bible down to our time today. But throughout this book, God's Holy Spirit is calling out to us, reaching out to us, inviting us. But we need to make sure we don't read the Bible selfishly. And we need to be open to hearing new understandings. And we need to remember that we won't just read it the same way. It amazes me. This happened to me recently. I read the Gospel of Luke all the way through, usually at least once a year. It's kind of my favorite gospel. But as I was reading it recently, there was a verse that somehow or other I'd missed and absolutely hit me upside the head like a 2x4. It stunned me. It rocked me. I'm thinking, how had I missed this before? How had I not pondered how important and how challenging this verse is? And sometimes the Bible is challenging. The Scriptures invite us to not view the way the world, to not view life the way we always have, but sometimes to be a little challenged, to be a little uncomfortable so that God can guide us to something better. It's kind of like how you might be a little tired and sore after a good workout, but in the long run it's probably better for you. Maybe that's the way it is when we read the Bible too sometimes. So with all that in mind, let me offer you a few suggestions on reading the Bible. The first one's real easy. Do it every day. I mean it, every day. My life changed when I started doing that. I spent a lot of time in my life, a lot of time in my faith, not doing it every day. I'm glad I started reading the Bible every day. Second, use helps. The Bible has a bunch of names that you've never heard of. It has references to places you've never been. Find a map, find a dictionary, find a glossary, find some commentary. Archaeologists, historians, biologists, and what I mean by biologists is the Bible talks about an awful lot of plants and animals that don't live here in Sterling, Illinois. Find some resources. It's totally okay to use those. And in fact, I think we need to use them. And I trust that God has inspired conscientious people to provide us with some good resources. Here's the second thing. Here's the third thing, though. When you go to a help as you read the Bible, understand the biases of the help that you're reading. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we all have biases. I'm trying to convince you today to read the Bible every day. I'm going to be honest, that's my bias. I have an agenda. I hope it's a good agenda, but that's my agenda. We need to understand that when we go to a resource to try and understand the Bible, that those people have agendas too, and that's okay. Generally, they're very good agendas, but we need to know the bias. We need to think about the understandings that we're reading. And we need to read the Bible in community with others. Now, it might be possible for five of you to get together and do a conference call every night at 9:30 and read the Bible together and then discuss it. And if you do, more power to you. But for most of us, that's probably not going to be practical. So read the Bible, but talk about it with other people. If you have a spouse or a significant other, talk about it with them. If you have kids, talk about it with them. If you have friends, brothers, sisters, siblings, grandma, grandpa, whoever, talk about it with them. And talk about it with your church family. This church is blessed. We have a men's study that meets on Saturday mornings. We have two disciple Bible studies that will take you deeper into the Bible than you probably ever wanted to go. We have the Lenten studies coming up. We're going to have Advent studies. And we've talked about having even more various small groups and studies. But find other people to talk about the Bible with. Because it is in that that we learn from each other. I'm a pastor. In theory, I've been studying the Bible professionally more or less for 21 years, if you include the fact I was a religion major in undergrad. And hey, guess what? I learn something from the people that I'm in ministry with every time. From all of the churches that I've been in ministry with, people have shown me things and helped me to think about passages in ways I never had before. God uses us to speak to each other. But if we don't spend any time with each other and talk with each other, we might miss something that God wants to say to us. And one last thought. You do not need to read the Bible from front to back as a starter. This is why I'm saying that, okay? Several times, somebody said to me, Pastor, I'm going to read the Bible this year. Then right around middle of February, sometime in March, they come to me and say, yeah, I stopped. Because they eventually hit that part of Leviticus where it's just page after page after page of the proper way to sacrifice a goat. Not making this up. There are page after page of the proper way to sacrifice a goat. Or they get bogged down in the census data from the book of Numbers. Or I had somebody say, I couldn't read any more of Joshua and Judges. It was too violent. Now, I encourage you to read the entire Bible, but starting at Genesis and going straight to Revelation might not be the most helpful for everyone. The Bible is long. The Bible is complicated. According to what I looked up online, most translations of the Bible are at least 780,000 words long. That's a big book. So if you need some helps, find some helps. One that was very useful to my parents as I grew up was the upper room. Now I've discovered we don't actually have any upper room here in the church. We'll have some by next week. So if you want one of those, if you would like to use that daily devotional, we'll make sure we have some available for you. A book that was meaningful to me when I first started reading the Bible was called A Guide to Prayer for All God's People. And if anybody wants a copy of that, I'll make sure to get you one. The church can order them cheaper than you can online. And there's a lot of other good helps out there, but find a resource to help you work your way through this book. You won't regret it. But you don't have to go cover to cover. And maybe you will pick it up and read it cover to cover, and that's exactly what God needed you to do. We're not all the same, and that's okay. But to be a Christian, to be like Jesus Christ, to follow God, we need to do as Christ taught us to do. And one of the things that Christ did was spend time in the Scriptures. So I pray that you spend some time in the Scriptures, that you pick up that book every day, that it speaks to you. The Holy Spirit has amazing, powerful, life and world-changing things to say to us through the Scriptures. But we won't hear them if we don't pick it up and read it. So I pray we all read the Bible. And then as we find some good news, let's share it with the people in this community and in this wider world. Amen?